So I've heard of beasts. I've seen them like with plows behind them, but I ain't ever seen one do that. That was impressive. Did that kind of get you excited?
Yeah.
That kind of pump you up a little bit? It kind of make you ready to go to the gym and lift 1,041 pounds? No, of course not. That guy whose nose bled in the middle of it, that's how I felt. I was like, I would probably die halfway through even thinking about it. Well, welcome to Navigation Church. We are so excited that you are here this morning. If you are joining us online, the messenger may look different, but the message is going to be just as strong. Thank you for joining us. We're glad you are here. As human beings, looking at that video, there's something that happens in us when we see strength. We delight in strength, don't we? We delight in these acts of power and these great things. We despise weakness. And usually what we do is we discard brokenness. So we delight in strength, we despise our weakness, and we discard brokenness. But God has a different plan for you. Brokenness is beautiful to God, and we're going to find that out today. We are continuing in our conversation about Wonder Woman and Superman found in the Bible. We've been looking at these heroes of faith. We've been looking at these people who perform super acts of strength. Today, we are specifically going to be talking about an actual Superman who had super strength. How many are familiar with the story of Samson? Today, we're going to be talking about the guy who probably could have given them a run for their money in the World's Strongest Man competition. If not the World's Strongest Man, he definitely would have been CrossFit champion more than Matt Fraser. So, for those of you who got that, I appreciate that. I've been watching the CrossFit games every weekend the last few weekends. So today we are talking about Samson, and I want to start this morning with a riddle, all right? Samson was famous for one of his riddles, but I have a riddle for you that I came up with. Is that all right? All right, so here's the riddle. Let's see if you can figure it out. My brokenness is seen in gold and glory. My value is revealed in a shattered story. What am I? Not who am I, what am I? The answer's in this box right here. And we're going to look at it later on this morning together. But again, the riddle is, my brokenness is seen in gold and glory, and my value is revealed in a shattered story. So a lot of people are familiar with the conversation of Samson. They're very familiar with the story of Samson and Delilah. That's where most people know of the story of Samson. Great strength, great weakness. He had a problem with women. That was Samson. Way to go, being a man, just like you are, Samson. So the story of Samson is found in the book of Judges, and that's in your Old Testament. It's a few books into the Bible, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, and right before the book of Ruth. Pastor David talked to us about Ruth and Boaz a few weeks ago. But in the book of Judges, the story of Samson is found in Judges 13 through 16. And we're going to study this Superman because what we're going to realize is he had great strength that we can delight in. But often what we do is we despise his weaknesses and we discard his brokenness. But we're going to find out that God moves through all of it. So that's how the story of Samson is going to work. So I'm just going to read a little bit in Judges 13, just the beginning of the story of Samson. All right, so it's Judges 13. We're going to start in verse 1. And it says, again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, so the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. Now, you need to understand something about the word again here in the book of Judges. Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. There's a cycle of the children of Israel in the book of Judges. And the cycle goes something like this. They serve the Lord, and then they fall into idolatry. They fall into worshiping other gods. They fall into sin. And then the cycle continues where their idolatry leads to some form of oppression, some form of slavery, usually at the hands of the Philistines. That was the big baddie in the book of Judges. And so in their desperation, in their oppression, and in their slavery, what happens is they cry out to the Lord. They repent. They return to the Lord. And then the Lord raises up a judge for them. And one of the judges, there were men and women judges, there were superheroes all throughout the book of Judges. What the Lord does is he raises up this judge who delivers them. He delivers them from their oppression, from their slavery, from their bondage. The children of Israel are set free, and once again they serve the Lord for about a minute. And then the cycle goes again. Serve the Lord, fall into idolatry, oppression, bondage, repent, raise up a judge, freedom, serve for a minute, fall again. That's kind of the cycle of humanity, though, isn't it? That is not just the children of Israel in the book of Judges. See, the whole Bible is the story of man trying to do it without God, humanity failing without God, God crying out to the Lord, and then God sending a deliverer. That's the entire story of the Bible, again and again and again. And I dare say that's the story of your life. That's the story of my life. That's the story of our nation. That's the story of this generation. That's the story of the world. We are a people who fall away, but we need a God. And thankfully, God comes through in our weakness. God comes through in our brokenness. And God delivers us. Not our strength, but His strength. And so we see that cycle right at the beginning of the story of Samson. Israel falls into the cycle again. And it says here, continuing in chapter 13, verse 2, so the Israelites have been in captivity with the Philistines for about 40 years. Wow. That's a long cycle, isn't it? Woo! Life goes on, folks. Anyway, a certain man of Zorah named Manoah, yeah, let's call him Manoah. If you, by the way, total joke, total side note, if you ever have a flood in your house, I know a guy. I told Pastor David when he said, will you speak? I said, yeah. He said, will you try to not go down rabbit trails of jokes? And I said, you do it. I'm not going to make fun of my wife, at least. Right? I know somewhere he's watching this and shaking his head at me right now. So anyway, let's go back to the story of Samson. So there was a man from Zorah. He was named Manoah from the clan of the Danites. He had a wife who was childless and unable to give birth. The angel of the Lord appeared to her and said, you are barren and childless. You are broken. But that's okay. You are broken. According to that time in history, if a woman was childless and barren, she was worthless. And so often we take the broken things and we just discard them. Remember, we delight in strength, despise weakness, and discard brokenness. And so she probably felt very little value, but God said, I see value there. So I'm going to give you a child. She was childless, unable to give birth. The angel of the Lord said, you are going to become pregnant and give birth to a son. Okay, there's some qualifications though on this kid, all right? Not only do you have to prepare a nursery, I need you to prepare like your pantry for his food. He's going to be a big boy. Going to be kind of strong. So see to it that you drink no wine or other fermented drink and that you not eat anything unclean. See that Samson also does the same thing. No wine, no drink, nothing unclean. I need him to be very paleo. I need him to just be focused. No excess carbs and no pork, no lobster. Dag nabbit. I'm out. Verse 5, it says, you will become pregnant and have a son whose head is never to be touched by a razor. Dang it, I'm out. No Nazirite vow for me. No super strength for you. Because the boy is to be a Nazirite. He's dedicated to God from the womb. He will take the lead in delivering Israel from the hands of the Philistines. God is saying, I'm about to raise up another judge, so that we can break this cycle again and raise up a judge to deliver my people. So this boy, he needs to be clean eaten. He needs to be not clean shaven, because I'm raising up a judge to free my people, and he's going to be like a Superman to the children of Israel. So Samson grew up. We all know his name. He grew up in strength and power. Powerful boy, probably helped daddy move a lot of the farm equipment around, you know. Son, can you move that back? Oh, sure thing, Dad. I'm sure it was something like that. Maybe not that cool. Maybe not like Clark Kent in Smallville cool, but like Samson cool. So anyway, he grew up, and in spite of his great strength, he had a big weakness. And again, you're all familiar with Delilah. Do you know there was a woman before Delilah that Samson had issues with? He liked the Philistine women. He did. They must have been like Brazilian models or something. I don't know. They must have been like super gorgeous Philistine women. And he liked them. So he sees this Philistine woman And he's like, yeah, I'm going to want that one. It's sexist. It's piggish. I get it. But so he says, I want that one. And he says to his dad, go and get me that woman. And his dad's like, well, why don't we choose from one of the Israelite gals, one of these, you know, girls over here that are really nice and wholesome, maybe not, you know, the Philistine women. And he's like, no, that's the one I want. So like any good parent, we spoil. And that's what he did. So the father went out and arranged for a marriage. And as they were going to meet this girl, set up the arrangement for the marriage, all of this stuff that was about to take place, what happened was Samson, on the way, he saw in the vineyards, he sees a lion. And some of you may or may not be familiar with this story, but this is one of the times where we get to see Samson's big old strength coming into play. So this lion comes at him. Come at me, bro. In this vineyard, Samson tears this lion apart with his bare hands. Just rips him up. I can't even tear this much paper with my bare... You ever seen these guys do like the phone book? I can't do that. Samson literally ripped this thing apart. A lion. Is anybody else impressed with that? Y'all with me today? Because that's kind of nuts. I wouldn't see a lion and go, I bet I could take that thing. I would see a lion and go, I bet I'm in the wrong area. I bet I'm in your zone. It's like when people talk about shark attacks and you're like, well, you were in his pool. What'd you expect? I wouldn't go in and be like, I'm going to rip that lion apart. I'm going to rip that shark apart. No, so he did. He tore it up and he's like, you know, that was my bachelor party. I'm ready to go get married now. Gonna be a wild night in the Philistine town. What happens in Philistia stays in Philistia. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, he has this wild bachelor party. Lions die. The whole thing happens. He goes and he gets married, and they have this 7-day feast. This big old 7-day feast, and there's all these companions there, and he's with his new bride, and he's enjoying himself and totally indulging in that lifestyle. His great weakness on display for all of these people. Nobody knows he killed the lion, by the way. Not even his parents. No, he killed the lion. But he's showing off. He's doing his stuff. He's alpha male in this group on his wedding feast. And so, as most weddings do, it ended in some gambling. Not just the gamble of getting married, but it was a joke. No, so this wedding ended in some gambling. So he's there with all his companions from Philistine, you know, the Philistine group, and talking with them, and they're like, hey, I've got a riddle for you. I got a riddle for you guys. And so the riddle was this. He said, before I tell you the riddle, we're going to put some money down on this thing, okay? So I'm going to bet you 30 garments, 30 pieces of linen, some basically what we would call nice suits. All right, I'm going to bet you 30 nice suits. If you guys guess the riddle, I'm going to lose the suits to you. But if the 30 of you can't guess the riddle, then you're all going to give me 30 suits because daddy's going on a honeymoon and he needs to look good, dressed to the nines. And so he tells them this riddle, and the riddle is this. It says, out of the eater, something to eat. Out of the strong, something sweet. Out of the eater, something to eat. Out of the strong, something sweet. Now, we all know the answer to that riddle, don't we? What was it? The lion. Here's why we know it's the lion, because on his way back from the wedding to and forth, he actually goes and he sees that the lion had honey. Like there were all these bees around the carcass of the lion. And so there was all this honey in there. And so he just scooped it out and he ate some honey on his way back to the wedding feast. He's like, boom, that's right. I killed it. Now I'm going to eat out of it. So he's eating all this honey out of this dead carcass lion. I guess it's locally sourced. I don't know. So he's eating this honey, and from that, he came up with this idea for a riddle. They're never going to guess this riddle. Nobody knows I killed this lion. So out of the eater, something to eat. Out of the strong, something sweet. Well, the whole wedding party was perplexed. They're like, we don't know, dude. What does that mean? I don't know. What does that mean? They're asking each other. It's a 7-day wedding feast. 7-day wedding feast. And nobody can guess it. So all the companions, all the men, go to Samson's new wife, and they're like, listen, get your husband to tell us what that stupid riddle means. She's like, no, probably not going to do it. They're like, how about this? If you don't, we'll kill you. I'm telling you, this was a wild wedding party. Gambling, threats of murder. I mean, this is like crazy. So, of course, she's in fear for her life, and she tries to coax Samson to say it. Hey, you know, out of the eater, something to eat, out of the strong, something sweet. What does that mean, honey? He's like, babe, not going to tell you. By the way, in my head, that's how Samson talked. Babe, no. Total meathead. And so she starts weeping. She's like, you never loved me. You never loved me. You don't love me if you're not going to tell me. She never said to him, hey, the guys are going to kill me if you don't say this. Because probably if he really loved her, he'd be like, they're threatening to kill you? Well, either A, I'm going to kill him back first. Or B, all right, I'll go out and buy the 30 suits. He might just be like, all right, I'll lose the bet, no problem. But Samson's kind of an egomaniac, kind of a strong guy, kind of got a lot of pride, kind of got a lot of sexual issues, if we can say that. So he's this guy who doesn't want to be seen as being ashamed of anything, so he's not going to tell her. He refuses to tell her until she weeps and weeps and weeps. And finally, as we all do, he gave in to his wife, and he's like, okay, all right, I'll tell you. All right, I killed a lion, and honey grew out of the lion, and I ate the honey, so out of the eater, something to eat, out of strong, something sweet. And she was like, babe, thanks. Thank you so much for telling me that. She then goes and tells it to the 30 companions. So on day seven of the wedding feast, are you okay with this long of a story? We're good? So on day seven of the wedding feast, he says, hey, have you solved my riddle? And they're like, well, if we think out of the eater, something to eat, immediately we think, what's the eater in our world? It's got to be a lion, Samson. And something sweet, maybe what's sweeter than honey? So could it be a lion with honey? And he's like, if you hadn't threatened my wife, y'all wouldn't have gotten that. So I'm going to get you 30 garments. I'm going to get you 30 garments. Samson then proceeds to go down to the next Philistine town and kill 30 men. Strip them of the suits. And carries them back to the wedding feast. Blood covered in them, And he's like, hey, here's your 30 suits, sorry. They got damaged in delivery, damaged in shipping. So in order to not be ashamed of his loss, he instead put this huge brute strength in place and went and killed 30 people over a riddle. Macy's doesn't have those kind of sales. That's not how that works. And so, of course, escalation took place, because when powerful people are involved in a powerful conflict, do they normally go, it's okay, I'll let go of this? Or does escalation occur? So, of course, he thinks he hates his wife, too. Now, you know, he's so mad at her for telling the secret. So he goes back to his hometown, leaves his wife there. He's like, no, we're going to get this thing annulled, basically. Leaves his wife there. But then after a while, he cools off. He's, you know, probably showered, chilled, washed his hands of all the bloody suits. Decides he wants to go back and visit his wife. gets back to the town to visit his Philistine wife. Only to have her father say, yeah, I thought you hated her, so I kind of gave her to one of your companions from the party. She's now married to another man. Livid would be a small word to describe what Samson said. He said, all right, well, now I have a real reason to take revenge. Not just the suit thing. Now you've taken my wife. I'm going to go out and kill more people. He goes and kills more people. Then the Philistines go and kill his ex-wife and her father. So then he decides, I'm going to kill even more people. And it just escalates and escalates and escalates. Now, what's happening also, just so you know, on the side note of what's taking place here, is the more Philistines that die, the less control they have over the children of Israel. So let's just keep that in mind. Not necessarily an ends justifies the means sort of thing, but God is using Samson's weakness and his strength together to cause a deliverance for his people. So you know how we say that thing in Scripture, there's that phrase that's always used, he works all things together for good. Okay, so yes, God is doing something good over here while bad things are taking place. And sometimes we go, well, where's the good in this situation? Well, he works that way. That's just how the Lord works. So this escalation is happening, and finally, some of the guys from Israel say to Samson, they're like, oh my goodness, dude, they're coming to kill us all now. The Philistines are coming to kill all of us because of you. What are we going to do? There's like 1,000 of them out there ready to slaughter our camp and our village. And so Samson's like, okay, I have an idea. He's going to show his strength again. He says, why don't you all tie me up and deliver me to the Philistines? That way, it looks like you're on their side. You're going to tie me up, but you have to promise me you're not going to kill me first. And they're like, okay, all right, we can do that. We can avoid killing you, Samson. So they tie him up. They take him to these Philistines. Immediately, he gets in front of these 1,000 Philistines, rips the bonds off, superhuman strength, grabs the jawbone of a donkey. How many are familiar with this story? He killed 1,000 people with the jawbone of a donkey. That's insane. Like, did he stop for a water break in the middle? Like, I'm watching these power lifters, like, chalk up, you know, before they do this big lift. What did he do? Was he, like, getting the dust in his hands? All right. You know. I'm just wondering what Samson was like. We know how he talked. Hey, babe, you know. But I'm just wondering what he was like pre-workout. Was he, like, taking his pre-workout bevy, and he's like, yeah, now I'm ready to kill some people. I don't know. So anyway, he goes, he kills these 1,000 Philistines. Well, of course, now there's even more rage. Samson is the most wanted man in the countryside, isn't he? All right, so we kind of jump forward in the story. The Israelites are still under Philistine rule. The power base has been weakened a little bit. But here's where we kind of jump forward in the story. Again, everybody, God will use your strength and your weakness to fulfill his purposes. All right? So again, we see Samson's weakness come into play with the woman Delilah. Everybody's familiar with that story? Even the most moderately unchurched know the story of Samson and Delilah. Another hot Philistine woman. Samson's got eyes on her. And he's like, I want that woman. So he goes down to her, spends some time with her. Delilah is unfaithful to him in every possible way. Again, what's happening is Samson's weakness is being revealed, and what's going to happen is because he continues to be tempted by his weakness and give into the temptation, we're going to see his weakness is actually going to lead to brokenness. See, what happens, he kept going to Delilah's house and kept spending the evening with Delilah, and he kept flirting with the temptation. I once heard this pastor say one time, he said, when he was talking to young people and they're like, well, when we're together and, you know, hormones and all of that stuff is happening, we just need to know where the line is. And he said, look, the moment you look for the line, go the other direction. If you're looking for the line of temptation in your life, don't be found looking for the line. Be found looking for Jesus. Be found looking for God. Because the moment you're looking for the line, guess what that means? It means you're close to the line. And that's what Samson did. He gave into temptation. He gave into his weakness. He gave into these things. And he crossed the line. And what we see is there's multiple times the men of the Philistine town come to Delilah and they're like, hey, we need to know what his source of his strength is. He's the biggest dude in the country. He's like massively fit, but we never see him jogging. So his source of power has to come from God or something. Can you find out what his source of power is? Basically what they were saying, hey, look, we need Lois Lane. We need you to find out what Kal-El's kryptonite is. All right? Was that way too geeky for everybody? Because we want to put him in the Phantom Zone. Nothing? All right. Thank you. One person got a Phantom Zone reference. That's awesome. I'm going to go home and read a comic book later today. Don't worry about it. So in our Superman story here, they're saying, what is Samson's kryptonite? Find out the source of his weakness. So Delilah's like, hey, baby, thanks for this evening. Hey, by the way, before you go, what's the source of your weakness? He's like, yeah, babe, I'm not going to tell you. And then she says it again, coaxes him, because he's coming closer to the line, flirting with temptation. And she's like, babe, tell me the source of your weakness. And he's like, babe, not going to tell you. So finally he decides, after being annoyed by her enough, he's like, okay, here's what you got to do. If somebody takes me and binds me up with fresh green rope, I can't break that. It's too much for me. You know, he's like, it's too much for me. I can't break fresh green vines. She's like, okay. So she ties him up in the fresh green vines. And then she's, while he's asleep in her bed, and she's like, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. Pop, he pops the vines off. She's like, you lied to me. He's like, you tied me up. Weird. Yeah. Why? Let me ask you a question, just from a purely mental point of view. If you told somebody a fake secret and then you found out that they exposed it, what's the chances you're going to tell them the next secret? You'd think you're smarter than that, right? Samson wasn't. Because the next night, she's like, look, babe, I know you lied to me about the vines, but what's the secret to your power? And he's like, okay. If you tie me up with never been used rope, that way all my strength will leave me, God will leave me. And she's like, okay, thanks, honey. He falls asleep. She ties him up with fresh unused rope. And she's like, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. Well, bam, he rips right out of him. She's like, you lied to me. And he's like, you tied me up again. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Samson does it a third time. But look what happens here. So the first time it was just about tying him up and binding him from his strength. Well, we already learned when he killed 1,000 Philistines, rope doesn't work on this dude. So now, this third time, she says, come on, tell me the truth. And he says, all right, if you braid my hair, because remember, he's unshorn. He says, if you braid my hair into 7 braids and tie it into, and you know, run it into this loom and set the pin, I can't get out. Look what happens when he starts flirting with temptation. He gets closer to the actual secret. Every time, getting closer to the actual secret. When you dance around temptation in your life long enough, you will eventually blur the line a little bit, blur the line a little bit more, and then give in. And so this next time, ties the loom, same thing. Samson, the Philistines are upon you. He unbraids his hair. You know, I haven't braided my hair in a long time, so I think it's something like this. Like the French braid, whatever. So he gets out again. And this is why I know Samson goes, hey, babe, this is how I talk. He's an idiot. Because after 3 times of her doing this stuff to him, he actually tells her the real secret. He finally says, here's the deal. All right, we've messed around enough. If you cut my hair, I'm a Nazirite. Never had my hair cut. If you shave my head, I will lose my power. So eventually, he totally gives into the temptation. He reveals the secret. He says, here is my kryptonite. And do you think she kept that secret? No. No. Because the one who deceives you will deceive you continually. You dance with the devil long enough. You don't change the devil. Devil changes you, they say. So this time, by the way, every time that this has happened, she's had Philistines waiting outside the door. And they're like, he lied again. Guys, go home. We'll come back tomorrow. So this time she shaves his head. She says, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. And he pops up and he's like, I'm going to kill him. I'm going to break them all just like I did the 1,000. And then he realizes his strength was gone. And the Philistines come and they take him captive, because if we flirt with temptation long enough, we'll fall into the captivity. He did the exact same cycle that Israel does. The exact same cycle that all of us can fall into if we are not careful, if we are not mindful of it. He fell into the idolatry, and then he fell into slavery at the hands of the Philistines, and they shaved him. They poked out his eyes, and and they put him in prison. So now he's bald and powerless and blind and broken. What a superhero story, right? The hero is broken. How many times in your life have you felt broken? Now, sometimes it's because of the choices we make. Sometimes it is because we fall into that temptation. Other times life happens to us and we get totally broken by it. A disease, a financial situation, a job change, a death. Sometimes a relationship goes sour. Sometimes brokenness happens to us, and sometimes we choose brokenness. But I'm here to tell you that you don't have to just delight in strength, discard weakness. Despise your weakness and discard your brokenness. Because God will come through with his power in spite of your weakness and in spite of your brokenness. So there was a great festival. We're going to go to the end of the story of Samson here, and we're just going to read through a few verses. The death of Samson in chapter 16. We're going to start in verse 23. It says, "Now the rulers of the Philistines, they assembled to offer this great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to celebrate, saying, 'Our God has delivered Samson to us, our enemy, into our hands.' And when the people saw him, they praised their god, saying, 'Our God has delivered our enemy into our hands, the one who has laid waste to our land and multiplied our slain.'" And so while they were in high spirits, there's a big old party going on at the temple of Dagon. They shouted, "Bring out Samson, let him entertain us. He's bald, he's blind, he's weak, he's broken. That sounds like fun. Bring out Samson the pinata." And so he was forced to perform for them. And they stood him among the pillars in the temple. And so Samson's there blind, and he says to his servant, he says, "Put me where I can feel the pillars that support the temple so that I may lean against them." Because again, he was weak. And so the temple was crowded with men and women, and all the rulers of the Philistine were there. And there was about 3,000 people on the roof. I imagine that's what the Philistine party sounded like. There was like dubstep happening in the background. Not the crowd for dubstep, apparently. So anyway, Samson, in this place of brokenness, Finally, instead of escalating the situation through his own power, he said, "Lord, sovereign Lord, remember me." See, sometimes we have to go to a place of brokenness before we quit doing it in our own strength. Sometimes we have to be broken to feel the power of God come through us. And so he said, "Lord, remember me. Please, God, strengthen me just once more and let me with one blow get revenge on the Philistines for my two eyes." A little bit of selfishness there. That's okay. Samson then reached toward the two pillars, the foundational pillars, and bracing himself against him, his right hand on one, his left on the other, he said, "Let me die with the Philistines," and then he pushed with all of his might, and down came the temple and the rulers and all the people in it. At their greatest moment of pride, at the height of their weakness, God broke them too. So a broken man being used by a powerful God brought down the idols of another people. And he killed more that day when he died than his entire life. The 1,000, the 30, the village. He killed more that one day death. And the people of Israel were free. But the thing that we need to remember here is that in spite of the cycle, in spite of our weakness, and in spite of our brokenness, God's power can still come through. especially when we say, remember me. When we go through that cycle of idolatry and falling into oppression in our own lives and slavery in our own lives, we need to remember God and watch him raise up a deliverer. That's what he did with Jesus, isn't it? He raised up and gave us the ultimate deliverer in Jesus. And we're going to talk about Jesus here in just a moment. But before we do that, I want to bring up the riddle at the very beginning. My brokenness is seen in gold and glory, my value revealed in a shattered story. What am I? How many of you are familiar with the Japanese pottery art form known as kintsugi? So kintsugi is a form of Japanese art, Japanese pottery. It actually means gold joinery. And if you can see in here, see in the photo up there, in here you can see the gold joinery in this piece of kintsugi art. And what happens in kintsugi is a bowl, a piece of pottery, a dish can be broken, but the Japanese don't believe that that's when you discard it. You don't discard something because it's broken. Because we, in our society, delight in strength, we despise weakness, and we usually throw it away and discard it once it's broken. But what's beautiful about the art of golden joinery, of kintsugi, is that the brokenness is part of the story. So, the brokenness is revealed in gold and the glory of the hand of the ones who molded it. The value of this piece is more valuable now that it's been fixed and repaired than it was when it was just one of the other bowls. Because the brokenness reveals the glory. The shattered reveals the story. I have to think that's like us. Like you. Like Samson. Like the children of Israel. See, so often we hide our brokenness and we keep it sheltered away because we don't want people to know, do we? Let's live the stained glass masquerade. Let's not show the shattered. But there's something beautiful in broken. There's something beautiful in the repair. See, we often use God as God is like a potter and he's molding us and making us. Let me tell you something. The potter is not done just because you've been molded and made the first time. If you get broken, the potter picks up the pieces and says, now I'm going to join you together with my gold and my glory. And Jesus comes along and he heals the shattered places. Now, some people want to stay in their brokenness, don't they? Now, your brokenness is part of your story, but your brokenness is not the totality of your story. Your brokenness is part of your past. It's part of your history. But what God has done in you and what God can do in you is more valuable. And that's what Jesus did. So there's going to be kind of two parts to the end here. The first part is, if you've been broken and you've said, I'm worthy of being discarded now, I want to pray for you first. We're going to pray that the master potter will shine his strength through your weakness, that he'll use his power in your brokenness, and he'll heal the old wounds. Not cover them up necessarily, but make them part of your story. And then we're going to talk about Jesus. So right now, if that's you, if you're like, God, I'm broken. This disease, this relationship, this frustration, this abuse, this financial situation, this job, whatever it may be, This private sin that nobody knows about is where I'm broken, but I'm not going to show that side. I'm not going to show the back side of my brokenness. He's like, no, I'm going to fix the outside too and the inside, the whole thing. So if that's you, you don't have to raise your hand. I'm just going to pray for you. I'm going to say, Jesus, thank you for everyone here in this room. Thank you for everyone online right now. That God, in spite of our humanity, in spite of our weaknesses and in spite of our brokenness, you are the healer. So Lord, we submit ourselves to the process of gold joinery. We submit ourselves to the process of glorification. We submit ourselves to the process of the potter healing us. No matter where we are in our lives, whatever the brokenness, Lord, we ask that you would heal and touch hearts in hurting places in this room right now, online right now. We pray that the broken would be made whole. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, one last thing I'll say to you all is, if you were broken because of a choice you made and a temptation you made, my suggestion is now that you've been rejoined, don't go back to that point that broke you. Don't do what Samson did. But if you've not been healed yet by Jesus, and if you don't know Jesus yet, if you're watching online or if you're here in this room, and you're like, I've heard about this Jesus guy, I kind of understand this Christianity thing. Jesus is the hands of the potter. He's the one that comes, and in spite of religious background, in spite of family background, economic background, racial background, none of those backgrounds matter to Jesus. It doesn't matter how you come, as long as you come to him. Come to the altar. So what I'd like to do now is I'd like to open an opportunity. If you don't know Jesus, if you have never said, Jesus, take my brokenness and be Lord of my life and shape me and make me whole, I want to give you that opportunity right now. So just everybody, if you wouldn't mind, close your eyes here in this room. We don't want to call anyone out. But if you're unfamiliar with Jesus as Savior, if you've never said, Jesus, be Lord of my life, I want to give you that opportunity right now. If you would, just wherever you are, it's just you and me, just raise your hand. Let me acknowledge and see that you're here with us. If you're online and you're saying, I don't know Jesus, I don't know this Christ as Lord thing, and I want to be healed, there's a button that'll show up and you just need to click that button. We just want to know that you made a commitment today. Amen. All right, let's all together just pray this. Say, dear Jesus, I know that I'm broken. And I know that I need to be repaired. So, Lord, heal me. I repent for my brokenness. And I ask you to be Lord. Save me, Jesus. Let your power come through my weakness. And be Lord of my life. Amen. Amen. Church, I'm just going to pray one more time. That God heals you in every way this week. That he work you through the process of healing. Amen, amen. You know what? Let's give a round of applause to Jesus real fast and say thank you. Just take a moment and say thank you.